Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. In today's conversation, I get to catch up with Kara Richard. Originally from Louisiana, she has transplanted to Santa Barbara, California, and has become Santa Barbara Balayage. She is co-owner of Summerlin Salon and Spa. She's an educator. She's a self-care advocate for the beauty expert. She's spreading the light and the love wherever she goes. And I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I know that you will too. Thank you so much for listening.
Hello.
Hello. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, Kara.
I am so excited to be able to do this with you again.
Yes.
I'd like to welcome Kara Richard to the conversation at the India Dunn & Company podcast. We did this back in March and it failed us.
That was so sad.
It was so sad. Oh, it breaks my heart. I don't even want to think about it.
We had to grieve for a few months before we did another one.
Oh, it completely. And wait for Mercury retrograde and every other planet to go direct.
Yeah.
So I know, I was doing a little, you know, recon, like looking to see what you've been up to since we've spoken last, but I don't think there's any way I could do any justice to what you've been up to. And I think that's your story to tell. But first I want you to tell people who you are and where you are and how you do what you do, because I think everyone knows who you are because I think you're so amazing, but there might be a few people who don't. And I would love for you to explain the amazingness that you've created for yourself and where you are.
Oh, thank you. People who don't know me, but my name is Kara Richard. My name on Instagram used to be Santa Barbara Balayage, but in the last year, I changed it to Kara Richard _ official. I guess my evolution's, it's kind of, when I look back on it, it's gone slow, but it's kind of gone fast. So I am a hair colorist, first of all. And then about 5 years ago, I became an independent balayage educator. And then that has evolved into becoming a salon owner. And now I'm focusing more on self-care and self-awareness for hairstylists. And last year I did my first self-care retreat for hairstylists. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I have a lot of things going on, and it's been awesome to see how it evolves over time, because it's not like I'm forcing it. It just kind of transforms on its own, and it's just been really fun.
And, you know, obviously I consider myself a burnout interventionist and a self-care advocate for the beauty expert. And so I want the listeners to know, as a result of the subject matter, to know, how did you get to that place? If you want to just jump right into it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been a lifelong journey, really. I mean, I've always really been into like self-help books and self-awareness and yoga and meditation and all that. And so that's always been a part of my life, but I didn't really merge it together for a really long time.
Right.
It's kind of always separate, because you think when you come out of beauty school or apprenticeship or whatever you're doing, you always learn go, 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 take all the clients you can get, never stop, don't take breaks. Eat while you're mixing color. That's what you're taught.
Right.
So, but with me, just the way that I've always lived my life, I'm pretty slow paced. So it just never, that lifestyle is like the crazy hairdresser, just never fit my personality. So I kind of always took time out for myself and made sure I wasn't overworking myself. And this came really once I wasn't working for someone else, once I became independent and I could say, hey, I'm going to take a day off, you know, this and that. But still having to be able to balance and, you know what you need to do in order to build a clientele. But that's always been a big part of my life. And then once I became a salon owner, we just made 2 years ago, that was really huge for me because, first of all, I never wanted to become a salon owner. I thought that just sounded like a nightmare and way too overwhelming. And all I wanted to do was do hair and travel and teach and, you know, just kind of work on my own life and not really have to deal with anybody else. But an awesome opportunity happened, and me and my business partner, longtime coworker, were able to take over the salon that we already worked at, and we redesigned it, rebranded it. And when I was able to step back and think like, okay, we can totally be creative. You know, we don't have to just kind of go about things as like the salon norm and make this like, you know, an in and out, you know, bust out all the hair you can and don't really think about it. It's, I wanted it to be more conscious and more of an experience, because that's how I like to feel when I go anywhere. And that's really how I like to feel when I work too. So it's just been awesome being able to use our imaginations and create a salon environment that is not only incredible for our clients, but also for everyone that works here too. So, yeah, that's pretty much what's been going on the last 2 years.
Oh my gosh. And what a wonderful time to do it, because we're becoming so much more aware of how our work situation, you know, environment, people we work with, how it affects us and our ability to not only build a clientele and become successful, but how we take care of ourselves. We're creating a dynamic in the salon, I think, now that unfortunately, as a result of us getting pushed, you know, to the edges of not taking care of ourselves, of not having a healthy work environment. You know, and I think that that, you know, when I think about how you've evolved and what you have learned for yourself and how you experience the place that you work, you know, you were fortunate to go into a work situation that was supportive. You know, what did you want to do for the people who were going to be coming in and working for you? How did you want to support them?
Well, we were, Jonathan's my business partner and I, we were super lucky because we've been working in the salon for 8 or 9 years. And the previous salon owner, she gave us a 30-day notice that she was going to close the doors. And none of us wanted to leave. A lot of us have been working together for 10 years already. And we really were a family and still are. And really the reason we became salon owners, because we just loved working with each other so much. We loved the space and, you know, we didn't want to lose that. So everyone agreed to stay. And then from there, it's like when you're kind of like when you're building a home, you want everyone in your family to be comfortable. You want your daughter's room to be cute, you know, things like that. So everything that we do think of like, how is this going to be a good environment for everyone that works there? Because we care about everybody that we work with. And then that's also going to attract like-minded people. You know, since then we've had three of our coworkers retire and we've had a few move, you know, so bringing in new stylists and estheticians, and we want to make sure that we find people who are, you know, on the same kind of vibe as we are, which is just really wanting a, I always say a peaceful life. That's always like my number one goal is to just like
non-drama,
non-drama. Like I just want to come to work and I want to feel like I'm getting a spa experience while I'm at work. Now it might sound crazy, but I feel like I have that, you know, and especially for being an owner, like I couldn't imagine working in a really hectic space. It just doesn't, it doesn't work well for me. So even like the aesthetic of the salon, like we have very little clutter. It's really minimal because I feel like when you have clutter, when you have dirt, it really kind of clogs up your mind and you can't work well. So just little things like that, that I might kind of see of myself as being OCD. It's, it's still like, okay, this might be a little OCD that I want things a certain way, but in the end, it helps us work more efficiently, be more relaxed. And the clients, that's the first thing that they notice is how calming the space is. So yeah, just things like that. Really paying attention to who we want to work with us, even though we are booth rental. So, you know, I could just be like letting anybody come through the doors and work here, but we really make sure that they're a right fit and isn't someone that's going to start drama or gossip or anything like that. So, yeah, we really take it seriously when it comes to the reputation that we want to build.
Beautiful. And I know that you do a lot of, you know, workshops and different classes for your community. But I know that that's really centered around you bringing this kind of education for your staff, or not staff, but your coworkers. I think you just recently had a class about boundaries. Is that correct?
Yes. So that really was cool. That was so fun. So that was actually at my last retreat that I did last November. My next retreat is coming up. It's October 7th in San Ynez at this beautiful rose farm called Eco Mama Farms. It's a sustainable farm. So we spend an entire day. It's just a one-day retreat. So it's nice because you don't have to take so much time off. But we start the day out with yoga. I do Reiki on everyone that's there. We do a sound bath with sound bowls. But the energetic boundaries part, that's a portion of the retreat that I facilitate with a depth psychotherapist. She works with women and she is amazing. She's local. And we talk about energetic boundaries with clients, because I feel like, especially, you know, it's kind of another one of those things you learn out of beauty school or any business in customer service, really the customer is always right. Well, when you're working on someone in such a personal space, and there's really no service industry like the hair industry, because we're really like their therapists sometimes, and we're not trained to be therapists. And depending on your personality type, like me, and I wrote about it in one of my last posts, I have always been a people pleaser, and I have always been kind of like, not necessarily a do-gooder, but I want to make sure that everyone's happy, and that can be really bad.
Very tiring.
Very tiring, in all forms of life, but especially when it comes to work life. And this industry can be difficult because, yes, you want to please them by doing the hair that they want, but you also want to please them with your personality. So we're constantly having to almost be a chameleon for each and every client. You grow relationships with these clients over time, you know, and they tell you about the divorce. They tell you about, you know, family members who have passed away, and you know, you hear all these things, and this is great, but then there's also people who can be really draining and kind of like energy. And even when I write these kind of posts, sometimes I'm like, oh, I hope clients aren't thinking like, but it's true. And you know, if somebody's reading a post, a client of mine who thinks there's an energy vampire, maybe it's time for them to go away. Maybe I'm sending the right message out. So I think it's important just to be aware that we are not just working physically, but we're also working energetically, and we have to know how to protect ourselves, how to know if, you know, maybe this client isn't a right fit. You know, like if you're going home and you're still thinking about this disturbing story that your client told you, you know, like for instance, I had a client once pretty much tell me that she was on the verge of committing suicide, and the only thing that was keeping her going was her blonde hair. So if I didn't get her blonde enough, then she wasn't, didn't have anything to live for. And honestly, I haven't seen her again. So and she was older, so I can't like look her up on Facebook. So I don't know what happened to her, but she's a really depressed person. And that would get to me. Like I hated doing her hair because I felt like it was so much life or death if I didn't get her foils to the point of breaking off her hair. Like she wanted it white, and that's just not how I do my work. So that part of the retreat was actually one of my favorite parts, because I was a little concerned that people wouldn't get it, like energetic boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, what are mm-hmm. you talking about? But literally we had girls in tears because they didn't even realize when they were taken advantage of. Not that people are doing it maliciously, you know, some people actually do, but you know, they're just coming to confide in you because that's what they've been taught. Kind of like the bartender. You're taught that you can tell everything to your bartender. You can tell everything to your hairstylist. And they don't know or really care, you know, that we're not trained in that.
Yeah. And they don't understand also that, you know, when we're touching them the way that we are, it's very, you know, we're eliciting intimacy that they're not accustomed to. So they feel prone, you know, there's, mm-hmm. we're touching that whole thing. Like I talk about it, we're touching their crown chakra, you know, it's like truth serum. We just opened Pandora's box.
Yeah. And for, you know, for eons, that's what the hairstylist was. We were the spiritual healers and we still are that. So I think it's so important for us to get back to that and understand the power that we do have, but also respecting that power and understanding how to control it in a way that's positive for us and our clients. So if that means letting a client go, that's one thing. Washing your hands after every client and releasing any kind of energy, you know, no matter what it is. It's really important. And I think it's, well, just, I feel like self-awareness is such a big kind of trendy thing now, which normally I kind of roll my eyes at trends, but this is a trend that I'm super happy about. Like, hey, everybody wants to get on the, you know, on this path. That's awesome. And we need to like encourage it even more, especially in this industry, because the beauty industry before has always been about physical looks and, you know, I'm coming to work in my high heels and I'm going to go have 50 smoke breaks and, you know, I'm going to go get wasted after I get off work. Like that's kind of what it's been about, you know, this whole time. And I really feel like it's changing and I'm seeing more and more hairstylists merging the kind of metaphysical side of life and merge it into this very visual, physical side of our industry. So I think it's amazing.
Oh my gosh. It's such a breath of fresh air. And obviously for me and the work that I do, it's so vital, you know, that we get to this place of awareness as a result of anxiety and addiction and depression being such an unfortunate, you know, burnout is AKA compassion fatigue and symptoms of compassion fatigue, AKA burnout are, you know, all of these things of that we're up against as human beings, but really in our industry, it's overwhelming and unfortunate how it can take out young and old.
So, oh yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that you're spreading, you know, this knowledge and awareness where you are, you know, and the more that we create that ripple effect in our communities, the more that you start to influence the people that come to you so that they have a deeper understanding of what your relationship is.
Definitely.
And it really starts with us because we're the people in you know, as much as the customer is always right, we're the people in the place of power. Mm-hmm. And it's us, you know, it's our responsibility to take control of that, you know.
Totally.
To create and I feel those like when you do, boundaries, like you said.
Yeah. And I feel like when you do, you start to attract more of those people.
Exactly.
Not always. Sometimes I actually just had kind of a crazy client situation. So it's not that ever goes away. But, you know, if you have your intention there, then I do find that you attract what you want.
Yeah. And I would think that too, for you being kind of a celebrity hairdresser, you know, you probably get...
No, I don't know about that. But...
Well, you know what I mean.
I live around celebrities.
You know, being who you are and how you work, I would imagine you get, you know, like those blondes that want to be blonde, you better do it right.
There's a lot of that.
Growing into your, I don't know, your presence, you know, and what you've you've created for yourself on social media. Do you find that you attract stylists who want to come and work for you through social media? I'm just curious as far as the people that are listening who are trying to grow their business or grow their salons, you know, how have you felt social media has been a benefit for you?
It's been huge. It's pretty much been 100% of the reason why we've been able to attract the stylists that we have. Like the last three assistants, my last assistant, she didn't find me through social media, but my first two contacted me through Instagram, and they've been following my work, and they're incredible because they were already interested in learning balayage and concentrating on more of like a natural hair color approach, which is what I specialize in. Mm-hmm. And it was a perfect fit. And I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, we've had several hairstylists contact us for booth rental space here too. So it's been huge because just in the same way that you use it to attract the clientele that you want, mm-hmm. now as a salon owner, you know, so I have two separate Instagram pages that I'm doing. So I'm also trying to attract hairstylists in our community that would want to work here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we are very different from a lot of the salons in our area because a lot of these salons have been here, you know, for a long time, and they really run the business kind of that same old school mindset in and mm-hmm. out, you know, you're just here to pay rent. We're just your landlords. You know, we don't really care as much. Not that every salon does it, but there's a lot of salons that still run their business like that. So I really want to also focus on my customer service for the people that work here. And mm-hmm. I think that is really important because especially nowadays, you know, now we have salon studios, we have salons that are really up in their game. So it's not like you just open up a salon and people are just going to come and, you know, take a chair. You really have to work on it and really think like, what can I do to make sure that this is an environment where they want to work and they're not going to run to the next salon with cheaper rent, you know?
Right, right. I mean, that's the hardest part with hairdressers. I feel like there's always this idea that, you know, where if I'm not, you know, busy and I'm not getting the clientele that I want, then I should move.
Yeah.
And, totally. You know, it's obviously understandable if you're moving because you're not getting your needs met, mm-hmm. You know, or you're not being heard or respected. But if you're dealing with somebody who you have, let's say in your salon, who's having trouble getting busier and building a clientele, and they, you know, aren't putting in the work, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and you can see where they're lacking, like, how do you approach somebody who might be thinking that they need to go somewhere else to try to build a clientele?
I mean, luckily I haven't had that problem yet because everybody's awesome.
Great.
Everybody's just really self-motivated. And, you know, I would say like I said, everybody here is booth rental. They're all independent. So my coworkers basically already have a set clientele. Most of them don't use social media. I was the only one, before we owned the salon who even had an Instagram. And it was actually really funny because I was so embarrassed at first when I started taking pictures of my clients. Mm. I was so embarrassed of what my coworkers would think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't want them to think like, oh, she thinks she's so good that she's going to, you know, she's taking pictures of her clients. They're like, oh, that's cool. You're taking pictures. Awesome. You know, nobody cared. And then when they saw that it was really starting to build and, you know, it definitely took time. It took a lot of hard work. This was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And then how it turned into an education platform and, you know, just seeing how it evolved. I was really lucky that everybody was super supportive.
Yeah.
And then once I got my first and second assistant, just being able to work with them and, you know, I guess kind of mentor them. They were both really self-motivated and they're both super creative and talented. And it's almost like I didn't have to do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. I hope I don't want to take credit for anything because they're both brilliant and they're on their own, but you know, hopefully I guide them and
you're an example,
just encourage them. Yeah. So I've just really lucked out. There's nobody here where I have to be like, hey, you need to really work on this. You know, it's usually maybe I'm doing something and then they'll do it, kind of like a big sister kind of thing. Like, oh, this is working for her. Maybe I'll do it. And I like that approach better because I don't want anyone to feel like I'm forcing them to do something. And I guess that's kind of the nice part of having a booth rental salon too, because I'm not like, oh, you have to do this much.
Enforcing
this month,
or you're not gonna.
Yeah, exactly. So they can just do it, on their own timing. And like one of my assistants, for instance, she worked with me for a year and a half, and then she moved to a salon in her hometown. And it's amazing to see her growth. I was just looking at her page and I was looking at her pictures from when she was with me and then looking at her pictures when she moved to the salon. And I saw a huge jump in her progress. And I feel like, not that I felt like I was bringing her down or anything. It just reminded me of when I finally stepped out on my own and didn't work with my boss anymore. Not that I didn't appreciate what she taught me, but there's something about being on your own and being...
Right, you up the ante.
Exactly. You have to... You're using your own creativity. You're not like doing exactly what your boss did because that's how you learn. You know what I mean? So that made me feel... It makes me feel better knowing that they're better than what I am doing. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. It's like, oh, good. Like, I want you to go beyond what I'm doing because that's, that. I don't know, that's how you progress, really.
You want them to grow. Yeah, for sure. You don't want them to be in your shadow.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm like, ooh, now I need to talk to her about tips for my photos. They're so good.
What's she doing?
I know. And I have been like, how do you get that lighting? It's awesome.
Oh my gosh. That's
awesome. So I love seeing that. Or my first assistant, looking at her, like the results of her balayage and the way that she formulates that are different than mine and using different developers than I taught her. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is way more amazing than what I did. So I think that's really important for anybody who mentors other stylists or is a teacher. I think it's important that you want them to be better than you. Kind of like if you're a parent, you want to give your child a better life than what you had. So I think that's huge. And for me, it's more gratifying than like, oh, I taught this person my signature Santa Barbara balayage technique and now they're doing the exact same thing. You know, like, no, take what I taught you and make it your own and build your own confidence from that.
Totally. Well, I mean, that's the great thing about these days, you know, really being the best version of you, you know, taking what you learn and making it your own.
Totally. And that's what I teach in my classes
individuality.
Too. Mm-hmm. I don't have a specific pattern that I teach. I call it my Santa Barbara balayage technique, but what that just means is natural hair color that's customized for every client. Sun-kissed it. So what I teach is really empowerment for the colorist on how to take every client and be able to customize it and be able to use your own, I call it artistic intuition, by knowing their lifestyle, by knowing how they wear their hair, and really being able to focus on like the natural wave patterns of the hair, things like that, instead of saying like, oh, I'm going to do this star pattern on
every single client.
Right. It's going to look exactly the same and I'm going to curl it the same and I'm going to take this picture exactly the same, you know? So I think it was really good for me teaching in that style. And I learn in that style because I have to know the whys. It's not like I can just learn a technique. I have to know why we're doing this technique. And I actually just had a hair colorist tell me that. She took my class and she said, I never understood balayage until I took your class because I have to understand the why. And I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Like, I didn't even necessarily realize that's how I'm teaching.
That's what you're teaching.
I'm teaching you the why and not like, oh, I'm this chick on Instagram that has this technique that you need to learn, you know?
Such a trip. It's so different now.
Yeah, it's so different. It's crazy.
And like I said, you know, at the beginning, like, I know who you are and I think everybody else knows who you are. But, you know, there's such a huge array of people teaching online now.
It's
really crazy. You know, it's hard to keep up with it all.
I know. I'll find people all the time and I'm like, whoa, 200K. Like, I never even heard of this person. They're teaching, you know, you could find them everywhere. There's so many.
Yes.
So that's why I feel like it's just important to not get caught up in the number of followers or, you know, how many likes that they have. Really find a colorist or a mentor that you feel like you can connect with and really believe in what they're teaching. Because I've gone, especially when independent education was just starting to become a new thing, I went to so many classes and spent so much money on these Insta-famous people who had, you know, 50 plus people in their class. You're working on doll heads. They don't come up to you, you know, and help you at all. And it was really just about like taking a selfie with them and then going home. And that's actually how I built my own education program, was because I was so frustrated with the way independent education, not all the time by any means, but I meant a lot of these classes that I went to was more about just kind of growing their Instagram platform, if you know, not really necessarily teaching, or maybe these people have never taught before. And, you know, I never got formal, which I still would love to do it. I never got formal training in being a hair educator, but I did go to college and study education because I was going to be a teacher. So I've just used that to kind of create my program. And, you know, I love teaching and sharing, and so it is just crazy see how it's evolved over time, because a lot of these independent educators don't do it anymore because either they realize they hate teaching, or it's a lot of work, or it just doesn't work with their schedule. So you don't see as many people doing it, and I actually kind of fell out of it for a while when I became a salon owner. I just had so much on my plate. So getting back into it now, and I'm doing it more with these retreats because I find that that's just kind of how it's evolving for me. It's just really interesting to see how the education has changed. I think it's gotten a lot better, actually.
And how do you feel, just out of curiosity, how do you feel about the whole online learning situation that we've got going on? Because I just feel like with us, hands-on is just so much more valuable than learning something through a computer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think it's bad. It doesn't work for me because I've actually signed on to a lot of online programs also. I took an extension course a week ago, and it was incredible. It was a 2-day course, and I was just explaining how a few years ago I bought an online course for an extension program, and I watched the videos. I didn't even take out my doll head and do it because that's just not how I work. And anytime I've bought online courses, I don't do it. I just watch the video, and I'm just not self-motivated in that way. It's kind of like workout programs. Like, I'm not going to work out.
Totally.
I'm not going to go to the gym and just work out on my own. I have to go to a class where they're forcing me to do it, or I'm just not going to do it.
Totally.
So I guess if you're like, you know, like a mom who has like a busy schedule and you can't get away, like for some people online totally works, and I'm not like debunking it or anything. I think it has its time and its place, but I think hands-on classes are so important. And for me to take it to another level, I hate doll heads with a passion. I know, like, just like online classes, there's a time and a place for everything, but I quit beauty school because of doll heads. Like, I had to be able to work on real people, and that's why I did an apprenticeship. And it just makes me cringe when I have to use a doll head. For the extension course, I had to use a doll head. And, you know, you just have to. You're doing different extensions on people. But it still drove me crazy. So in my classes, we only use real models. We don't use doll heads. So I keep them super small. Nice. Like the ones that I do in my salon, they're only five people in the class, maybe six at the most. And so it's a lot of one-on-one. Each person gets their own model. Either they bring one or I have a model for them. And I feel like it for me, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, totally.
So kind of the same thing with online. There's just something about being able to get in there hands-on with a teacher right next to you that's helping guide you and correct you, especially if it's something like hair extensions. Like, you can't just pop in a – well, I guess you're not popping in a video. It's online. But you can't just watch a video and then just – practice. I mean, who are you going to be able to troubleshoot with? And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's just certain techniques that I think it's really important to have somebody next to you to help correct you.
Yeah. And I think too, it's just that whole thing where if you're, again, like the whole doll head aspect, it's a little bit more difficult because it's just not realistic.
No. Well, and you have to watch it again with the independent educators. Like, there's people making so much money off of this, which is great. Everybody should be making good money. But you have to ask, like, why are they doing this? Are they doing this because they want the fame? They want the, they want the money. And it's, you can make really good money doing online platforms. I had a business coach that was like, you need to do online classes. And I was like, that's just not where my heart is right now. And like, it'd be way easier to sell out online classes, but I just like being, you know, doing it in person. And not that, you know, maybe one day I will, but I don't know. It's kind of hard for me because I don't really invest in online classes anymore. Just because I know that's not how I learn. I actually did one. I signed up for a subscription earlier this year for these online classes. And I was like, oh, this will be great. I'm going to have like these classes in the salon where everybody can come in. We'll watch the video and then we'll do the technique. And it was like hours of video. Oof. I'm like, nobody's going to, and we don't have the time to like break it up and then do hands-on. So we had to cancel that. So, yeah, I think it's just worth it to just invest in the actual class and come to the class. And then if you want to see videos, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of amazing professionals who do YouTube tutorials. I would rather watch a YouTube tutorial from a professional, not from, you know, just anyone and not have to spend the money. Because some of these online programs, they're just really very expensive. So again, it's just do your research with the educator and look at their work and really decide if this is who you want to invest in. Because I've gone to some of these classes too where I see their model and I'm going through and I'm like, ooh, these are really splotchy. These are, you know, like now I see how much editing you've done on your Instagram pictures.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's kind of tricky.
It is tricky, super, because I mean, in anything, you know, you just never know when you see it online. It's different in all situations, as we know.
Oh yeah,
you know what you see, what you don't see. And thinking about you and energetically who you are and how you work with people, I would imagine that it's just the reciprocity of having the energy that you exchange with the classroom and being with your people and having them interact with you is so much a part of it as well.
Totally. That's why I like it small too, because we really all, we just become friends afterwards. You know, we have lunch together and I really make it open to anyone being able to share their own tips. Like I've learned so much from the hair colors that have come to my class. Because I say like, if, you know, while I'm painting hair, if you have a suggestion or if you have this technique, let's talk about it. And to this day, I do techniques that I've learned. So it's really kind of a collaborative class.
Collaboration.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. And I would love for you to share about how your self-care has evolved from your own experience. I mean, how you're teaching, how you're living and how you're playing, you know, all of that has brought you to how you're giving.
So I feel like it's kind of up and down. honestly, before I became a salon owner, I felt like I really had the whole self-care thing in check, took a lot of, you know, time for myself, had a good balance. Then when I became a salon owner, it's kind of like, I mean, I would never compare it to having a baby because I don't have a baby. So, but in my own little world, I've never had a baby. So that's as close to having a baby as I could get. And I'll joke with people and I'm like, oh, it's almost like I had like postpartum salon depression, you know, because I really kind of sunk in a deep place where I'm like, God, this is really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because I have my own clientele, you know, I have these classes I'm trying to teach. I don't even know how to be a business owner. I'm trying to figure it all out. And so I wasn't really taking care of myself for a while. And then that's when I started getting back into it and making sure I do my yoga, my meditation and my workouts and doing beach walks, because going out in nature is like really important for me. Grounding and being able to walk on the sand, in the water, in my bare feet. These are all little things that I have to add in. So like for me, which isn't possible for a lot of people, but I made it work in my schedule where I don't go in until 11. So I can fit all these things in and have it done before I go into work. So I just feel a bit more settled, and then I enjoy my work day more. And then when I'm off work and I'm exhausted, I can binge watch Netflix if I want to and not feel like guilty with myself, which I feel like Netflix is also self-care. So
I can agree to a certain extent.
In
moderation in all things.
Well, it's kind of like people who overdo hot yoga. It's like, okay, don't do that too much hot yoga, don't do too much Netflix.
A little bit of balance.
Yeah, a little bit of balance. But I feel what really is working for me, because I can't always fit these things that I want to do in my schedule. It's how can I make this part of my everyday life, which is what I'm talking about with like the aesthetic of the salon. Like, how can I make the salon a calming place? How can I walk into work and feel like I'm taking care of myself, you know? Nice. And, you know, I still don't really take a lunch break all the time, you know, like, it's not like I'm at all perfect at it. Like, well, even when we have that energetic boundaries class, like there's things that I learned. So that's what I say about being more collaborative. Like anything that I do, I'm learning too. It's not like I'm this master at anything. And even with hair color, you'll never see me call myself a master. I just got my master's certificate in Reiki. I would never call myself a master. I just don't like that word, because to me, when you say master, it just means like done to me. Like I just see finish.
Right. And I had that thought process this morning too.
Yeah. And maybe I'll change that down the road, but I just feel like, no, I'm constantly learning and I'm always changing. So I think
You're evolving.
Yeah.
You know, as we move through it, we evolve more. And I love, you know, to me, it's like when I think about what I advise people to do with the small incremental changes being the foundation for lasting change, it's like there's got to be these little pieces throughout the day that we either take away or add that give us that support, that supplement us to carry forward.
Yeah,
totally. And like you said, creating a work environment for yourself that makes you feel held and cared for, you know, and I think that that's something that, you know, it's hard for us as individuals in such a huge industry that's so focused on the outside. You know, we're getting clearer and clearer about, you know, a lot of the people that go into this industry are sensitive.
Yes.
And if we're sensitive, you know, we're sensitive for a reason. But at the same time, if we're working in an environment that is just, you know, high volume, first of all, you know, you're packing a lot of people into a space, you're turning up the music, got the blow dryers going, there's a lot of energy swirling around.
That already gives me anxiety.
Exactly. So it's understanding, you know, you're fortunate that you understood that for yourself and that you've created an environment that supports you in the way that you need to be supported. But so many people out there don't understand why they don't feel well.
Yeah.
And Definitely. It's saying, okay, so, you know, let's look at it from the ground up. Are you sensitive? Mm-hmm. And if you are, these are the things that are just obviously going to bother you. And then underneath that is all these other pieces, you know, when it comes to the energetics transference and, you know, carrying other people's energy.
Oh, for sure. And I feel like that's what attracts a lot of us to being hairstylists, because again, it's like, my people pleasing is also mm-hmm. because I'm so sensitive to people and their energy. Like I can't even help it, really. It's like I will morph mm-hmm. into that person and I will automatically know what to say to make them feel comfortable. And if I don't, then I know this is just not a match and not going to work. So if I'm not aware of how empathic or sensitive that I am, then I can be taken advantage of, which has happened mm-hmm. to me so many times and still happens to me. And I have to like check in with myself or talk to a coworker, and like they tell me like, oh, you need to do this because this isn't right, you know? So I think it's really important to, even if you have that one coworker that you can go and kind of bounce ideas or questions like, oh, this client's saying this to me, is this right? You know, I think it's really important to just check in with yourself, because, you know, it's easy to get into those kind of salon relationships. And you also have to kind of look at your own personal relationships. Like, mm-hmm. what are the type of people that I date? You know, like,
exactly.
I see a lot of that in myself, where I'm just kind of looking back on all the relationships that I've had, friendships and, you know, intimate relationships, and just see like, oh, where does that play a role in who I attract as a client? And what am I trying to gain from mm-hmm. making sure every client's happy and trying to please everybody in my life? Like, why do I need that validation?
It's huge.
Yeah. And that's not something you learn.
It's not. I mean, unless you, you know, are fortunate enough to have very self-aware parents or teachers, mm-hmm. you're not really going to get the correct language to try to unravel that at an early age.
Yep.
And we're definitely not getting that in beauty school.
No.
And I think that being sensitive, I understood when it was said to me that, you know, being codependent isn't necessarily a typical, you know, codependency. It's as if I feel so much from that other person that I want to change the way that they feel.
Totally.
So I don't feel what they're feeling.
You know what? I just read something in a book yesterday on codependency, and it was talking about the term codependency actually became really popular in the 80s. And it's actually been an overused term, especially with describing women, which in our field, you know, I would say the majority of us are women. So women in general, we're caring, we're nurturers. That's just who we are. So sometimes we can confuse that side of us for being codependent. So when I read that, I was like, oh, wow, because I've always overused that term when I'm talking mm-hmm. about myself or mm-hmm. relationships that I'm in. And yep. almost seeing that as like a disability, you know?
Yeah, as a drawback.
Totally. Instead of looking at it and saying like, oh, I am a caring, nurturing person.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not a mom. So I never saw myself as a caring, nurturing person because when I think of those words, I think of mom. And I'm like, well, I'm not a nurturing person. I must be codependent. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right. Finding language for it.
Totally. I thought that was really interesting. That I read that and how often that term is used, and like, how can we look at it in a different way and say, you know, yeah, there may be some codependent aspects to it, and, you know, it's kind of a spectrum, but
mm-hmm.
how can we take those sides of ourselves and make them more, you know, just kind of polish them and, you know,
right.
make it work for you and still be a compassionate, you know, giving person of those boundaries in place, and not just for your clients, but with your coworkers, your bosses, your husbands, your kids, you know, because that's also a big form of burnout for women, you know, and this is why so many women suffer from heart disease and, you know, issues of the heart space, like breast cancer. And, you know, because we're, we're overworked and we can feel guilty if we're not doing what we need to do at home or, you know, for our husbands or for our kids or, you know, things like that. So it's really interesting.
It's so interesting. And it is, you know, part of the reason I felt compelled to call us creative compassionates, because we are serving our people through our creativity in this deep, compassionate way. And, you know, to map it out and look at how we function. And like you, you know, you've said multiple times, as I have, you know, we're serving people in a way few do. And, you know, we're not licensed therapists, but yet we're in that intimate space and vulnerability with our people. And we're touching them at the same time. And, you know, therapists aren't even allowed to touch their patients.
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
I've been in therapy a long time, and I've wanted to hug her multiple times, and it's like, no hugs, you know, it's like, I don't even get to shake her hand when we leave, you know? And here I am, you know, having these same kinds of intimacies and vulnerabilities with people, and I'm touching them at the same time. And we're just now coming into understanding how that, that compassionate space is so necessary for our ability to have these feelings for other people. You know, I can't.
And that was one of the, that was one of the reasons that got into Reiki and just other forms of energy healing, because I already knew that that's what I was doing. And if I'm just using that, and I don't even have to say like, oh, I'm going to do Reiki on you, this or that. It's just like, how can I study more about energy healing and understand more about what I'm doing? And then expand my offerings from there. So now I'm going to be doing, Reiki sessions, scalp treatments, herbal hair tea baths, and kind of bring more of that spiritual side to the beauty industry. And, I think that's also a great way to be able to connect with your clients.
Well, it gives them a space to honor what's happening as well. Because, you know, all this time, again, you know, it's like there's more happening than a haircut. We understand that. But how do we charge for it? How do we gain more understanding and then therefore more worth in our work, charge more, you know, and then have that, that foundation of just people knowing what they're getting and appreciating it, respecting it.
Definitely.
What drew you, like, you know, say there's somebody out there who doesn't know what Reiki is. What drew you to that? And can you explain it a little bit more?
What drew me to it? I mean, it's just living in California. I'm originally from Louisiana. So in Louisiana, I probably wouldn't even tell people I do Reiki because they might think
you're a witch. Like, voodoo.
Exactly. Like, get that away from me. But but just being in California, you know, it's just something that's all around. So I've had Reiki treatments like several times. Just being in this community in Santa Barbara, it's all a lot about spirituality and healing, and it's just, I don't know, anything that has to do with the spirit has always been really interesting to me. Even when it comes to religion, I study religions and spirituality for as long as I can remember. So what Reiki is just a form of, it's really a relaxation form, honestly. And once you get the body and mind and spirit in a relaxed state, then you're able to do, any kind of form of healing, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual. So, this can be done remotely. It can be done, in person. And what I like to do is really just think of it as like setting an intention for the service that I'm giving, you know, the space that I'm providing, and also just to send positive energy to the client, because you have these people in your chairs And sometimes you know what they're going through, but sometimes you don't know what they're going through.
Right.
Maybe they're in a True. Really bad mood and like their husband has been cheating on them or, you know, like things that they haven't told you that are going on in their lives. And here we are in such a close space with them, touching their head, touching them, you know, so why not send them that good healing energy? So it's not like, it's not like we're the healer. It's like, we're sending it from the universe, from the earth. And we're just, we're just kind of transmitting it to them.
Right.
So that's really, that was really my whole reason for getting into it, just to be more aware and not just go through the motions. Because when I go through the motions, that's when I get burnt out. And that's when I don't enjoy what I'm doing. When I take the personal side of it. Yeah, exactly. Where I'm just like, I'm just going to do your hair and take your money. And clients really feel that too. Like when I have a client come in, they're just like, wow, I just love your energy. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, great. That is what I want.
Yeah, I've been cultivating it. Thank you very much.
I'm trying.
So is anyone else in the salon drawn to do that same kind of work, or do they have any kind of curiosity? Are they more open to it maybe because they're from that area as well? Has there been any judgment or weird questions about it?
Oh, no. I mean, I've always kind of been an out-of-the-box kind of person. So I feel like anybody in my life, no matter what I do, they don't really question. They're just like, oh, that's Kara. She's doing, you know, her thing. So I'm lucky. I'm very lucky to be in an environment like that. But no, we have like one of our estheticians. She's amazing. She's studying somatic therapy. She practices Reiki. She's a doula. I learned so much from her. And then we also started doing monthly self-care nights. So these are awesome because we combined, they're like beauty classes, you know, skincare, hair classes, but it's also combined with like a, I guess kind of more of a spiritual aspect. Like our next one that we're doing is going to be facial mask and a, sound bath. So we're going to do facial mask. And while those sit, we're going to lay back. And I have a friend who does these amazing, sound baths or sound healing with sound bowls and chimes. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, who wouldn't love that to be just relaxing with a facial mask? So that's what's really been fun for me becoming a salon owner is like, oh, how can I combine all the things that I love and put them with beauty? Because, you know, if your mind and your spirit feel balanced, then that's just going to, you know, come out in your physical appearance as well. So why not combine the two? And that's really been something that I feel like my coworkers have enjoyed. Kind of surprising because it's not like your average, like, oh, we're just going to do this blowout class, which I'm sure we'll do that too. But just kind of doing things differently and kind of adding in more of that spiritual aspect to it is pretty cool.
No, that's awesome. I hope that people, you know, in places that might not be as open or accepting, you know, can hear this and think of, you know, it's happening, you know, you can join in and not feel alone in it.
Oh, for sure. And
no whatever, matter like, where you are. You
yeah. know? And I grew up Catholic, Christian, and, you know, and still have that as a big part of my life too. So to me, it's all energy.
It's all God.
You know, it's all God. It's all, if it's positive, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Oh my goodness. That's so fun. I love thinking about you and your community.
Thank you. Come visit.
Oh my gosh. I want to.
That would be so fun.
Oh my gosh. So fun. And yeah, I think that, so your next event is in October. Is that, did you say the 7th?
Yes. Monday, October 7th in San Ynez, California at Eco Mama Farms. It's called the Art of Sun-Kissed Hair Retreat. It's a day retreat. So my class is called the Art of Sun-Kissed Hair. And I'm going to be doing a demo and a live model. So I'll be doing my, it won't be a hands-on course because we won't be in a salon setting, but okay. I'm going to be doing a model. Like I said earlier, we start the day out with yoga and Reiki, which is like amazing. And then, we have our energetic boundaries course with our depth psychotherapist. We have farm to table meals that are created by the staff at the farm, and they are amazing. Last year was so cool she even had the recipes for all the meals. So that. Yeah, you get a nice little swag bag with all my favorite little nourishing teas and different things like that. And then I also have a professional photographer that I work with. So once we have our model all styled, we go out into the rose gardens, and then she does a big photo shoot with our model. And she also teaches how to create the best photos for your Instagram. So this is also a good time to build up your own portfolio and go out and take pictures. There's plenty of time to enjoy it. It's a huge property. And now they did it last year. They were still under construction, so I don't think they had animals or anything yet, but now they'll have animals, and a lot of the property is finished. Yeah, it's beautiful. My next goal for next year is doing a 3-day, 2-night retreat. So that's all in the works. I have all these ideas going, but anyway, if you want to check that out, you can go to theartofsunkissedhair.com and then click on the calendar, and that'll take you to the class, and it'll have all the information for the class. There's a video there from last year's, I keep saying class, retreat. There's a video on there from last year's retreat, and yeah, it's really awesome. I keep the ticket price pretty low because I want it to be accessible for for everyone, really. So it's basically, it's almost the price of my half day class, which is kind of crazy for everything that you get. And then I also have discounts on groups of 4 or more. Last year I had a group of 8 from the same salon come, and it was so amazing to see them throughout the day, how they're able to bond. Yeah. So I think it's really great for any like salon owner who wants to like treat their team to it or get a group together. I think it's really good bonding experience, especially the energetic boundaries course, because what I learned from last year's retreat is watching these coworkers talk about clients and seeing them bond and understand, because you don't, you know, when you're in the back room and you're talking about, oh yeah, Sally's so annoying, she said this and this and that, you're not really sharing,
processing,
you know, you're not probably exactly, you're not processing, you're just kind of like bitching a little bit, but when you're sitting there with a therapist and talking about your feelings and you start crying, you're like, oh my god, I didn't know my coworker felt that way about Sally. She's been doing her hair for 10 years, and I didn't know that she was so stressed, you know. So I think it's a really great opportunity to I think it's really cool, kind of opens your eyes. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. And I'm going to be doing more classes here. I'm just really trying to focus. I kind of was putting too much on my plate. So I'm really trying. So my goal is like retreat, salon, my personal bit. And then I'm going to start doing extensions soon too. I'm like, how am I going to do this? But we'll figure it out.
You know what? Just show up and God will make it happen, right?
Exactly. Always happens.
You're doing it. You're doing it. Thank you so much for your time today. I adore you and appreciate everything that you're doing so much.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
And I know you're at the salon today, and I don't know what you're up to, but I hope you got to have your morning rituals. And if you didn't, then you get to go back out into your day and enjoy your day off.
Oh, yeah, I did. I actually had a long weekend, so... This is my get my life back together day.
Okay. Good.
But
all
thank right, you sweetheart. So much. Thank this is you. So fun.
Oh, thank you. And many blessings and lots of hugs until I see you.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.